What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out podcast. We had to go emergency because we had breaking major news in the National Football League. The 49ers are now drafting at 3. The Dolphins traded back to 12 and then did a deal with the Eagles to get back up to 6. A lot of first-round picks moving hands to several different teams. And I thought, why don't we dive into it? Obviously, Three and Out podcast. If you listen on Colin's feed, go subscribe to the separate Three and Out feed. If you could, if you like the show, leave a review. Apple iTunes, greatly appreciate it. It really helps. Keep this short, keep this sweet, but I had to talk about it. I had to get some content out there for the people. And I'm going to start with the 49ers. I obviously live in the Bay Area. I've spent the majority of my life in Northern California. This is easily the biggest trade the Niners have ever made. It's one of the biggest swings you can make as a franchise. Because anytime that you trade up in a draft, you know, well before draft day, there is some unknown. Things are out of your control. But I think it's fair to say, and I'm going to take an educated guess here, though I've kind of known, and I've been hinting at it for a while, that they've been trying to trade up to number 3. We know who's going number 1, and we have for several years. Basically, after his freshman season, the 2021 number 1 overall pick was going to be Trevor Lawrence. So the moment the season ended and the Jags got the number 1 pick, even before we knew Urban Meyer was the coach, the Jacksonville Jags were not on the clock. The Jets were. And we still don't have a resolution to the Jets' decision because Sam Darnold is still on the team. He could be traded at any moment. Zach Wilson, I'm recording this on Friday, just had his pro day. He made some incredible throws. It feels very, very strongly that Zach Wilson is going to be the number 2 pick. Whether they trade Sam Darnold or whether they trade Sam Darnold and take Zach Wilson, or maybe they trade with someone else, you know, the Falcons, whoever, and someone else takes Zach Wilson. Here's what I do know, though, and feel very, very confident about this. The 49ers know that. They know what the Jets are doing because Robert Saleh is one of Kyle Shanahan's best friends, has worked on his staff for the last 4 years. Mike LaFleur, Robert Saleh's offensive coordinator, has been one of Kyle Shanahan's minions for almost a decade. Matt LaFleur's brother, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and was a major offensive cog for the Niners the last 4 years. And he was with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. Knows him very, very well. The 49ers know what the Jets' plans are. So in a draft where there are 3-4 quarterbacks that are going to go in the top 10, the Niners know who they are taking. You don't pull the trigger without doing that. But in 2020, after going to the Super Bowl, being up in the Super Bowl, and losing it basically in the last 5 minutes of the game, the Niners kind of got kicked in the nuts. They had a million injuries. It was a disaster. But really the main injury that derailed their season was not Nick Bosa, who missed the majority of the season with a torn ACL, was not Richard Sherman, who missed a ton of games, was not trading DeForest Buckner and replacing him with Javon Kinlaw. It wasn't George Kittle, who broke a foot and had his knee injured. It was their quarterback situation, which was an utter disaster. Because Jimmy Garoppolo, who in 2018, after the Niners extended to a big contract, tore his ACL in week 3, missed the entire season. That's what led the Niners to get Nick Bosa. His one healthy season of his career, the Niners went to the Super Bowl and, you know, came within several plays of winning the thing. And then last year with a team that wasn't going to be as good as 2019, but easily would have made the playoffs if Jimmy just would have played the entire season, they couldn't because Jimmy missed 10 games. And toward the second half of the season, when the Niners, because of the Corona crazy laws in Santa Clara County, got kicked out of Santa Clara, they had to play home games in Arizona because California is led by so many whack jobs. But the problem was not even that they had to replace themselves. I'd rather be in Scottsdale than the South Bay. Hell, I plan on moving there. Honestly, asked most of the players on the team. I did DM and text with some of them. They were glad. They saved money on taxes. But you know the main issue was, and they won some of those games. They beat the Rams. They beat the Cardinals. Was Jimmy Garoppolo was in a suite taking notes. And people around the Niners, they had several players that had high ankle sprains throughout the year. All of them came back and played. Jimmy Garoppolo disappeared and never came back. And at that moment, in one of those games, they played the Buffalo Bills in a Monday Night Football game. And Josh Allen destroyed them. And I think a lot of people view Kyle Shanahan through the prism of he likes Kirk Cousins, he likes Matt Schaub's, he likes Matt Ryan's, because that's who guys he's had success with and have liked. And even Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, he said some things after that game after Josh Allen, you know, eviscerated them. It felt like he threw for 800 yards. Was like, you know, I think Kyle's changed his tune a little bit. I think it's become evident you can't win anything in this league with average at quarterback. Look at the teams that consistently compete for the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. Now the Bills are going to be in the mix. They have Josh Allen. Hell, even the Ravens, who were a joke the last couple years with Flacco, drafted Lamar Jackson. They're now in the playoffs every season. Pete Carroll, I don't know what's exactly going to happen with Russell Wilson, but as long as Russell Wilson stays on Seattle, here's what I do know. Seattle will be in the playoffs every fucking year. And the 49ers, who, I watched this guy very closely. His record hasn't been that great. Kyle Shanahan is big time at his job, but he needs a real quarterback. He needs a quarterback he can depend on. Well, they're in Silicon Valley, the area where people get rich overnight. Why? Because they take big swings. Well, who's in the 49ers division? The LA Rams. What do? They take massive swings. They don't care about first round picks, like, at all. They just got rid of Jared Goff, who the Niners have absolutely kicked his ass the last 2 years. They beat the Rams 4 times in the last 2 years. Even this year, when the Niners won 6 games, 2 of their wins came against the Rams. They own Jared Goff. You know what Sean McVay said? Jared Goff, pack your stuff. You're headed to Detroit. He upgraded quarterbacks because the Rams are very, very aggressive. And I think that inspired Kyle. Now, listen, they didn't make this move. And when I say Kyle, John Lynch is the general manager. John Lynch answers to Kyle Shanahan. This move does not get made without Kyle Shanahan signing off on it. I think they know exactly the quarterback they're taking. I would guess over the last month, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Adam Peters, Mike McDaniel, now kind of Kyle Shanahan's right-hand guy, they have done extensive research projects on Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, and Justin Fields. Me personally, I would go Justin Fields. As Mel Kiper mentioned it, his upside, like Herbert, like Josh Allen, is as high as the sky. If I'm going to 3, I'm taking a swing on a guy with the upside to be a Pro Bowler. That's why Mac Jones, who I do like, I couldn't touch at number 3 overall. Ceiling, capped. Trey Lance, people I know in the league, you know, not down on him, just think he's a major project. But also, like Justin Fields, has large physical skills. Tall, can run, has a big arm. You have to go with a guy like that. Because this league's about a high upside at quarterback. Like I mentioned, the guys that win, Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, now Josh Allen, even Lamar, you better be a freak. You better be a dominant, dominant physical player, or you're not winning consistently in this league. That's why Jimmy Garoppolo, the Niners are up and down, because they can't depend on the guy. And even when he's playing, let's face it, he's just a middle-of-the-road quarterback, which Kyle's proven. You give him a middle-of-the-road quarterback, he can win double-digit games. But I give them credit for understanding they need a dynamic quarterback. Understanding that first-round picks, like, how do you give away so many first-round picks? Who cares? Rams do it every year. They have not had a losing record since Sean McVay has been there. They have also not had a first-round pick. They're overrated if you have an elite coach and you have a good quarterback. Well, I know the 49ers, they have a big-time coach. It's now time to go get an elite quarterback. Now, there's risk involved. Guess what? There's risk involved in anything. You can stay in the slow lane instead of the fast lane. That does not mean you're not going to get into a car accident. Car accidents happen in the fast lane. They happen in the slow lane. I personally would always much rather being in the fast lane. I want to get to my destination faster. Just like me personally, I will always take a swing on a quarterback with large physical attributes. When I say large, I just mean elite. I mean a big arm. I need a guy fast. I need a big player. I'm not into small little guys. I like Kyler Murray. I watched him get slammed to the ground midseason. He was never the same. Justin Fields and Trey Lance are big. Both of them are 6'4". I like big-time athletes because that's usually what wins in the NFL. I know we use Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. Those guys are outliers. Both of them first-ballot Hall of Famers. Draft little guys, you're usually going to, you know, get burned. Now, granted, they're not little guys in this draft, but Mac Jones, he's not a great athlete, doesn't have a big arm. Good player. I don't mind Mac Jones. Would love him in the second round. Clearly, he's going to go in the top 10. Not my cup of tea. But when you mortgage the 12th overall pick, a 2022nd first-round pick, a 2023 first-round pick, and a 2022 third-round pick, I'm taking a big swing. And I'll give the Niners credit. We don't know the player they're going to take. They took a big swing. Sometimes when you take big swings, you'll strike out. That's part of the deal. At least he had the balls to get in the batter's box. The Miami Dolphins, who now have a boatload of picks. Here's what they established. Tua Tagovailoa is our guy. We're going to build this thing around Tua. And here's what they have. They have two first-round picks in this draft. They have the sixth pick, and then they have their own pick. They also have two twos. So I think it's fair to say the moment they went from 12 back up to 6, they're acknowledging we're getting an elite skill guy. Whether that's Kyle Pitts, whether that's Ja'Marr Chase, whether that's Devontae Smith, whether that's Jalen Waddle, I feel pretty confident between those four guys, the number 6 pick is going to be one of them. I would double down. In my 2-1s and my 2-2s, at minimum, I'm taking 3 offensive guys. Whether that be a lineman, whether that be a tight end, whether that be a running back, whether that be a wide receiver. Because I'm going all in on Tua. And one thing we saw last year with Tua, he needs better players around him to look good. The Dolphins skill guys last year were not very good. What did Tua look like? Not very good. Ryan Fitzpatrick looked fine. He's used to it. Tua used to playing with an all-star cast. What am I going to do in this draft if I'm Chris Greer and Brian Flores? I'm going to go get some offensive skill guys. And then within a couple years, we're going to have some answers. Because you're already behind the eight ball. Justin Herbert already looks like a star. Well, that's water under the bridge. You've already made the pick. You didn't pick him. You got Tua. And you're basically also acknowledging there is going to be an elephant in the room of if the Niners draft a guy that turns into a star player and Tua does not, it'll be hard to shake that. But because you have all these picks, you do have the capability, you do have the draft capital to go land some sweet dudes. So Tua's going to have no excuse. So they're going to go heavily on offense, as they should. They have a defensive head coach who's proven that he can take random guys on defense and be pretty good. They got a good secondary. They drafted a pass rusher last year. Draft offense. But the Dolphins basically showed their hand today. They're all in on Tua Tagovailoa, which if I would have told you a year ago, you'd have said, of course they are. They just drafted the guy 5 overall. We had some evidence. It didn't look pretty, but they're not pivoting. And they have basically five first-round picks the next 3 years. They have 2 twos this year, 3 twos next year. They have 4 twos the next 2 years. They have a ton of draft capital. Time to nail some players. The Dolphins could be really good if Tua is just solid and they hit on a lot of picks. They actually don't even need Tua to be Justin Herbert. Obviously, they would love for him to be, but let's face it, he's not. He doesn't have the physical attributes to be that. But what he does have the potential to have is be surrounded by a lot of elite players. If they nail these drafts the next couple years, their team could be loaded. And hell, Tua could be like the left-handed Kirk Cousins, and it'd be fine. You know what Kirk Cousins does in Miami? Minnesota, puts up huge numbers. You know why? He's throwing to Thielen, Diggs, now Jefferson, handing it to Cook, throwing it to Rudolph, Irv Smith. Like, they got dudes. Surround solid guys with dudes, they look good. I think most of us don't even think Dak's a top 10 quarterback. What does Dak do when he's in the game? He usually looks pretty good. He's throwing to CeeDee Lamb. He's throwing to Amari Cooper. He's handing it to Zeke. He's handing it to Pollard. Like, they got guys. Or Gallup. You don't need to be fucking Dan Marino to take your team to the Super Bowl. If you're just solid and your GM and head coach are good and they do a good job of drafting, especially when you have a million picks, your team could be good. So I actually look at Tua differently. I don't expect that much of him. I just expect him to be better than he was last year. But I don't need him to be a top 10 quarterback if I'm a Dolphins fan or even the Dolphins, you know, front office.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And then the other move is, listen, Howie's taking a lot of heat over the last couple months. And here's what I will say about Carson Wentz. He went all in on Carson Wentz. I would have too. Especially once he paid him. Like Carson had showed, he was a special talent. Then Carson crumbled like a cookie. For whatever reason, whether he couldn't handle the Philly media, whether his teammates didn't like him, whether him and Doug didn't see eye to eye, there's a lot of stuff out of Howie's control. When you're the GM, you're not the offensive play caller. Now, did they do a great job of drafting the skill guys the last couple years? They could have done better, 100%. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is a terrible pick. But Miles Sanders looks pretty good. Dallas Goedert is good. Jalen Reagor, time will tell, but toward the end of the season, he looked like he was coming on. Here's what they also have. They have the ability to kind of bottom out. Play Jalen this year, see what happens. Next year, they potentially have three first-round picks. They have their own. If it goes well for Wentz and the Colts, they will have the Colts. And they will also have, as of recording this, I don't know if the first-round pick that the Eagles got from the Dolphins is the Dolphins or the 49ers, but either way, they got a first-round pick. They also, the next 2 years, including those picks, have nine picks in the first three rounds. So they, if they draft well, which they did when they built the Super Bowl team, they could kind of get this train back on the tracks pretty quick. And that's the key with the Dolphins and the Eagles. When you have a lot of draft capital, because I saw it once upon a time when they got rid of Khalil Mack and they got rid of Amari Cooper, and we're like, oh my God, John Gruden has all these picks. And then 3 years later, it's like, well, they got Josh Jacobs out of it, right? You're like, ah, you got to hit the picks. That is now the key. Back to the Niners with the number three overall pick. It's awesome. I'm glad they did it. I make a lot of money talking about the Niners for a living. The more interesting they are, the more content I can produce. I am pro them doing sweet shit. But eventually, this kid, whoever they draft, better be good. All these picks that you're going to surround two with these players, you better nail them. Like, honestly, I'm not even that big of a Jalen Hurts guy. I don't think he's that good. But really, it won't matter, because if he's not good and this year they win three or four games, next year they'll have a top pick plus multiple other first-round picks. That's how the Dolphins turned it around. Now, unlike the Niners, we know Kyle Shanahan's good. The Dolphins, Brian Flores is solid. We don't know anything about the Eagles head coach. And part of being a general manager is obviously making good moves in free agency, doing good stuff with the draft, and how he's a wheeler and a dealer, and now he's acquired all these picks. But they picked, and Jeffrey Lurie definitely signed off on this, Sirianni. So the health of the Eagles moving forward will be on them using these picks and putting them to good use. But also, is their coach any good? I have no clue. I had heard good things about before he was hired, watched the press conference. It obviously didn't go well. He's replacing Doug Peterson, who, say what you want, beat Bill Belichick in a Super Bowl. So it's not going to be easy. And they got some just, like, if Carson Wentz plays well, here's the thing with the Eagles. I get why they traded Carson Wentz. Ultimately, the owner wanted him gone. It's not even a GM call. For them to trade Carson Wentz, Jeffrey Lurie has to be the one wanting him gone. And he did. And Carson's now on the Colts. But, and listen, I think most Eagle fans were just ready for a breakup. And it's easy to say right now in late March. But what happens in November if the Eagles aren't that good this year and the Colts are, you know, 8-2 and Wentz looks like a Pro Bowler? People will forget and be really pissed off. I've lived there for a couple years. Just the nature of the character of the way that team is covered and the fan base, as they should. I'd be mad too if I was a fan. So there is an elephant in the room with the Eagles of, like, if Carson Wentz balls for the Colts and the Eagles aren't that good this year with Jalen, there just is going to be a lot of animosity in the city. Now, ultimately, this is not like a GM move. Like, the owner wanted this. But then the pressure on Howie the next couple years is to nail these picks and use these picks and replenish everything. So honestly, if they were to, like, finish last this year in the NFC East and win three or four games, they'd easily have the ammo to get up and get a sweet quarterback if there is one in the draft. They are going to have a ton of options. The irony, too, of everything of this happening on Friday, as the NFL had just a week ago or a little over a week had signed the $113 billion deal, is yesterday was the NBA trade deadline. Let's face it, was kind of a dud. Many of the players that were traded, I mean, unless you're a diehard NBA fan, you don't even know who these guys are, besides like Rajon Rondo. And the NFL, which used to be the least, I would say the most trade-adverse sport of, obviously baseball was heavy into trades, basketball heavy into trades, and football was hit or miss. Football now has these general managers and a lot of coaches who are in charge who make so much money now that a lot of people used to be in job preservation because it was hard to ever get another job. And, like, you weren't making that much money. If you were a head coach in the mid-90s, you know, maybe you made $600,000, $700,000, $800,000. The head coach. If you're a head coach in the National Football League now, you know, Kyle Shanahan makes like $10 million. Brian Flores probably makes $7 or $8 million. GMs are making $3-4 million. If any of these guys get fired, they have generational wealth. They don't even need to worry necessarily about getting another job. So when you're not worried about the money, what can you do? It's easier to be aggressive. You're like, if it doesn't work, whatever. I'm rich. Now, I'm not saying that's why these teams made the move, but I think paying these GMs more, and obviously these coaches make more than ever, you're seeing more trades. Football has become a lot like what baseball, what I remember growing up, what basketball used to be. And those sports still are, but now football makes the trades. That was like the one thing football lacks. Like, you never see crazy trades. We see trades all the time. Stafford, Goff, Carson Wentz, this big trade. The draft's over a month away. And I'm glad. It makes for great content. It makes for great entertainment. It's the big reason the NFL is running circles around every league, because they're by far the most interesting, because they got legitimate, tangible, substantial action. Like, this did not exist 20 years ago. Maybe once in a blue moon something like this would happen. It happens all the time. And there's a chance that on any day over the next month, it's like, oh, Sam Darnold's been traded to whoever, and the Jets make a big trade. Or maybe the Jets keep Sam Darnold and trade the number 2 overall pick. Action, action, action. Just an awesome day for the NFL, an awesome day for us content creators. And I think all three of these teams, like, if I was a fan, if I was a Niner fan, I'd be fired up. We're going to take a swing on a franchise quarterback and get rid of Jimmy, I'm always hurt, Garoppolo. If I'm a Dolphins fan, it's like, okay, time to see what Tua does with some sweet guys around him. And if I'm an Eagles fan, this year might suck, but you are loaded with picks. 9 picks in the first 3 rounds the next 2 years, in 2022 and 2023. Next year, potentially 3 first-round picks. So if you are going to blow it up, which they did when they traded Carson Wentz, there's hope on the way. There are resources on the way. What an unreal day.